The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Before we start today's show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. April is Stoners and Mothers Month at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their Peace, Love, and Happiness soap set. Use the cucumber-scented peace sign soap when you want to feel calm and peaceful, the rose-scented heart soap when you want to feel the love and pamper yourself, and get happy with their zingy grapefruit-scented smiley face soap. Three soaps, 3 cents, three different feelings. Only $10 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Good evening, and welcome to the CNN Democratic Debate live from Brooklyn, New York. I'm Wolf Blitzer, and believe it or not, I shaved 5 minutes ago. Let's meet the candidates. First up, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
I cannot wait to be your next president, if I'm elected, of course. Not getting ahead of myself in public. In private, I've been president for 15 years.
And Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
I am Bernie Sanders. I'm a voice for regular people. I'm not fancy. I'm not the elite. I put on my pants just like all of you. I sit on the edge of the bed and Jane pulls them up for me.
Well, thank you both for making time to be here. I know it was hard for both of you to agree on a date.
Well, not for me, Wolf. I offered up a date right away. I said, how about April 33rd at Blue Blorp O'Clock?
Wolf, I want a million debates. When people hear my message, it resonates loud and clear. Because I always talk like I'm on the other side of a river.
We're having fun because we're number one. And the part that makes us smile is making friends all around the world, singing up and down the dial.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, April 19, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hi-o.
Hi. It brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap ever. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen.
If you need a lawyer, better call Bo.
Hi. Yeah. Head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page and get free legal advice from Charles Bowen. You can't beat it, and don't we all need free legal advice these days, in these litigious days of election fraud and lawsuits?
Yeah, about election fraud.
All right, I have a very important announcement to make. In addition to being absolutely and completely sick and tired of the Democratic primary fracas, I don't care who wins anymore. I mean, honest to God. If something crazy happens and it ends up being Bernie Sanders, fine. If it ends up being Hillary Clinton, fine. It's really just at the end of my rope. And you know what's really instigated it, Chez, is the fact that there's just a lot of, silly season is thick this year. And especially in this past week or so.
What do you mean?
It's just everything is getting sillier and sillier with, we're going to get to the Republicans here in just a second, but specifically on the Democratic side, frankly, at this point, in addition to being sick of the Democratic primary campaign, not caring who wins the Democratic primaries, and there's also this. I don't care what Bernie Sanders does with his hands. Likewise, I don't care that Hillary Clinton says she carries hot sauce with her.
Yeah, no, it is ridiculous.
It's beyond ridiculous. It's gotten to the point of just being, no one can see the forest for the trees anymore. It's just now it's down to whittling away at these little tiny picayune nonsense stories. And it's just, you know, it's typical politics. It's silly season politics. It happens every time. Just so happens this time around, it's just been going on for so long. And there's so many of these little tiny nitpicky things that need to be swatted down.
I didn't want to see, as we've talked about so many times, I didn't want to see the Democrats come anywhere near turning into the Republicans.
God,
so it was very important that they be the adults in the room. And now you've got, I mean, you know what? Everybody knows my opinion, so sorry, not holding back. The candidacy of Bernie Sanders has given the fucking lunatics on the left, on the far left, this outsized voice, and they are behaving like the lunatics on the far left. And as I've had to say many, many times, I have never said that all Bernie Sanders supporters are nuts. Far, far, far from it.
Absolutely not.
But he has given voice to these lunatics.
Yeah. Well, let's
the honestly the left wing Tea Party. And their behavior to me is childish and juvenile and, again, the furthest thing from being the adults in the room.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, to a certain respect, I think there's a faction on the left that, and I really, really want to underscore this. If I was writing this out, this would be in italics. It just happens to overlap with Bernie Sanders supporters in general. And we're talking about now, we're talking about the sort of the left libertarian group, the Greenwald group, the Occupy Wall Street group. You know,
exactly.
We're all familiar with that group. At the same time, though, you know what? The Hillary Clinton people just need to sit back. I mean, and I wrote something for the Daily Banter weeks and weeks ago that, you know, it's just basically an STFU to Hillary Clinton people, too. Please, for God's sake, we're at a point now where it's become so ensconced, this whole thing, into, again, for lack of a better term, silly season politics, that no longer are we talking about who the more progressive candidate is, which candidate has the better policy choices. It's basically just reduced to screeching. You know,
and I've never done that. I mean, no, pardon me. We did it when things first started.
Yeah.
But once this became the kind of ferocious contest that you know it always could have become, mm-hmm. It of course it was going to descend into this.
I was hoping that it wouldn't, but it obviously has. I mean, my hope was that the Democrats, considering how insane the Republicans are in that whole race going on with the Trump and Cruz and to a certain respect Kasich and contested conventions and delegate counts. And, you know, I was really hoping that the contrast would be clear between the Democrats and Republicans, politically speaking. I mean, certainly on the issues, there is significant contrast between the two. The problem is that the silly season politics on the Democratic side has become almost a distraction from the silly season politics on the Republican side, at least among Democrats.
If Hillary Clinton cleans up today, even if she does really well, Sanders is not going away.
Oh yeah.
And what's going to happen is he's going to dig in, and his supporters will dig in, and it will get even uglier.
I don't know.
Because as the time has sort of whittled down, it's become more and more ugly from that side. And yeah, you know what? Oh, hell, man. There are always Clinton supporters who are douchebags.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get that. But I genuinely, in all the time I've spent following politics, I've never seen anything like the kind of crowd that Sanders has brought out.
I have a theory behind all of this, and we might as well bring up our election music here. You know, this actually kind of started on the Republican side during the George W. Bush years. We all remember that rock band, the rock band. I almost called them a rock band. They were called the Wright Brothers, and they did a song called "Bush Was Right."
I can't remember that. Thankfully,
it was. In fact, the chorus was kind of a nanny nanny boo boo melody. It was nanny nanny boo boo, nanny nanny Bush was right, and so. There was an atmosphere during the Bush years where Republicans were in love. I mean, in love with George W. Bush. And it started right after 9/11. And it lasted for most of his presidency. I think now, because of, and again, this is, I'm really wrapping this into the effect of social media on politics. And we've talked about this almost every week in terms of how the prevalence of Facebook and Twitter has contributed to the political discourse or taken away from it.
We were talking about this years ago when you and I did the, this will be the second time in what, a week that we've referenced, or in 2 weeks that we've referenced the East Tennessee State University, whatever the hell that was. One of the things we talked about was the memification of politics. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about stories that are important anymore. We talk about little gaffes and little things like, and they take up all our time, and they're circulated around social media, and they're huge for like a day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I'm guilty of what I'm about to say just as much as anyone, I think. But I think the access that we have to candidates now, and the access to 24-hour-a-day information. And again, I put myself squarely in this category. Anyone who's read me over the years knows I've been this way with Barack Obama. People fall in love with presidential candidates now, more so than at, I think, any other time in American history, because we have such intimate access to every detail of what they're doing day to day, what they're saying, the controversies, the people who are criticizing them. There's a closeness that I think, a bond that occurs now. And it sure as hell happened in 2008. I don't know to what extent, but I was willing to go to my grave fighting for Barack Obama. There were Hillary Clinton supporters in 2008 willing to go to their grave fighting for Hillary Clinton. And indeed, they were going to. The whole PUMA thing, the Party Unity My Ass movement, came up around, you know, Hillary Clinton supporters refusing to support Barack Obama in the general election if he won the nomination. We see the same thing happening now. And I'm just, because it's so close, because we're, you know, I make no bones about the fact that I'm a registered Democrat. The fact of the matter is, because the Democratic Party is so close to, our lives, it's basically interwoven into our lives. The Affordable Care Act, for example, you take that away and so many of us are screwed. It's more visible on the Democratic side. I see it certainly on the Republican side, too. And if we were to really dig in, we would see it happening with Donald Trump. We would see it happening. Certainly Donald Trump. Certainly with Ted Cruz. To a certain respect, there's a little a fringe group with John Kasich right now who are becoming more and more enthused about his candidacy. So, yeah, I think all these things are, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I do know what it's doing is it's making, at least from a personal perspective, I'm getting really just at the end of my rope with the resulting sort of catty nitpicking back and forth that you would almost see among, like, in a love triangle or in like cliques in high school or something like that. It's really at that point. Again, I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know if it's going to change or if it's going to get worse. But that's where we are right now. And I think that explains. I think this sort of new means of really loving your candidate is the new normal in presidential politics. And I think one of the things I've been trying to do, and not to get too insidery here with all of this, is I'm with my writing at this point, what I'm trying to do is distract away from it and say, look over there, what's happening there in state politics. Crazy abortion laws happening all over the place. And, I think to a certain respect, that's important. And that's a healthy diversion from some of the insanity we're seeing at the presidential level.
I've totally staked out the Bernie bots.
Yeah.
The Bernie bots real estate.
Well, again, it's real estate that we've staked out many times in the past, and most of the time when the name Bernie Sanders was never even attached to a particular faction.
Well, that's it exactly. I started this election loving Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he was an important voice in Congress.
Yeah.
And as things have gone on, I really have genuinely have like lost a lot of respect for him. And so, and that was, you know, the first thing I thought was like, look, you know what? Bernie Sanders doesn't deserve to be held accountable for the lunatics mm-hmm. who follow him, who just worship him and see him as, you know, the big opportunity to get socialist legislation passed, you know, for the United States to become an anti-capitalist country, which is just fucking ridiculous. Cat, are you having fun licking? Oh my God, the cat's licking me. Oh, Gizmo. Sorry about that. Gizmo. We need Gizmo music.
Oh yeah, Gizmo music.
I just.
There we go.
Oh, thank you. That's the Gremlins music. That's the Gizmo music. I see.
Gizmo music.
But I mean, admittedly, I'm definitely more where you are now, which is that I want this over. I do want to see Hillary Clinton win, and the reasons I want to see her win are, to me, are incredibly, much like her, are incredibly pragmatic.
Yeah.
Because I think that she can get a lot more done as president. I respect that she is somebody who puts forth not just a lot of very big soaring rhetoric about what needs to be done, but that she actually has a plan for doing it.
Yeah.
For getting the legislation that she wants to get passed, getting it through. But I'm definitely, I mean, Jesus, I'm at a stage now where I'm fucking sick of this. I'm sick of it.
I know.
I want this whole Democratic primary to just vanish from my social media feeds.
Yeah. Well, there's a great line from one of my all-time favorite journalism movies, The Paper, where Robert Duvall says, "I wish everyone would just shut the fuck up." And I went through kind of an epiphany of sorts. Over the weekend, I went through and reviewed some of Patton Oswalt's tweets, because for some reason I don't get them. Maybe his schedule and my schedule are in a way that I'm not looking at Twitter when he's actively tweeting. So I like to go back and review some of his tweets. And he tweeted out the other day while watching the debate in Brooklyn. He wrote, "Guys, we'd be fine with either of these candidates as president. We'd be great. Stop your posturing, both sides." That's what Patton Oswalt wrote. I was like, you know what? Yeah. Fucking A right. You know what? That's exactly right. I agree with that. Because I'm really at the point where we've heard enough from both of these candidates. And I'm trying to separate some of the zealots out of the picture on both sides and just really take a look at the candidates and to realize that, you know what, at the end of the day, compared to these mental patients on the Republican side, we're doing okay. We're doing okay. You wipe away all of the silly season nonsense, the finger gestures and the, oh, she's shrill and she's a liar, blah, blah, blah. We take all of that out and we're left with two people who, quite honestly, going either way, would do just fine as president. The future of the general election, how everything fares that way, how one of these candidates will fare against the Republicans, that's a different story. There's lots to talk about with regard to that. But in terms of who's going to be a better president, I think we're going to be all right. And it's just a matter of sort of wiping your eyes, you know, clearing your throat, taking a breath of fresh air, going outside, like turning off Twitter, turning off Facebook, going outside, take a walk, have a beer or something, and don't worry. It's going to be okay. That's just where I'm at mentally with this whole thing at this point. And I think part of it is that the 2008 primary campaign went on just like this. Obviously, the details were a little bit different, but it just went on and on and on and on. And I think part of the reason why there's always a big push to secure a nominee early is because everyone knows that once you get to this point, once you get into the belly of April, it gets really, really annoying. I mean, it's just like a no-win thing where everyone's screaming past each other. No one has any perspective anymore. And it just devolves into just baseless white noise. that's kind of where it is at this point. And like I said, we're going to delve deeply into the Republican Party and some of the insanity happening over there, including more discussion of, yes, dildos today.
Strap on dildos. Dildo. Yep. Dildo. It's a penis. Artificial penis. Dildos. Dildo. Dildo. Dildos. Damn, yeah. Dildo. Strap on dildos. Right. Dildos.
Yeah, yeah. And the Ted Cruz campaign, of course. Because Ted Cruz and dildos go perfectly together. It's like chocolate and peanut butter. Oh, God. All right, let's talk about Harry's razors, huh? You know, I haven't shaved yet today. We're recording this show at about 3:45 West Coast time. Haven't shaved yet, but I know when I do, it's going to be great because I have my Harry's razors, I have my moisturizing shave cream, And it was all like the highest quality stuff for the lowest prices. It's Harry. Do what I and over a million others have done. Men and women make the switch to shaving products from Harry's.com. When the founders of Harry's saw the insanity of blade prices, they just bought a factory in Germany that happens to have been making precision blades for over a century. And now the blades go right from that factory to your door with no middleman or locked glass cases in the grocery store. That's how Harry's took the sting out of blades and took the sting out of my face, because I don't get awful shaving razor burn anymore. Now imagine getting the same great razors I use, three of those sweet five-blade cartridges, moisturizing shave cream, and more for just $15 with a money-back satisfaction guarantee. Stand up against overpriced store-bought blades and their protective glass display cases with Harry's razors. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANDC for $5 off your first Harry shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Seriously?
Why? What's your problem?
Rick Springfield.
Yeah. This is my favorite Rick Springfield song.
Human Touch is your favorite Rick Springfield song.
Yeah, it is. What's the problem? What's your issue? Tell me why it shouldn't be. Is there any reason why any Rick Springfield song shouldn't be your favorite?
That's what? Why it should be.
What?
Because Jesse's girl exists.
Well, of course.
So just don't talk to strangers.
But that's like saying, well, you can't have a favorite U2 song unless it's with or without you. You know what I mean?
You can tell how old we are.
It's possible. This chorus. That's pretty great, no? Okay, moving along here. Yeah, this is funny. Donald Trump was speaking in New York the other day, of course, because today's the big New York primary, and he was talking about 9/11, except he didn't refer to 9/11 as 9/11. Donald Trump referred to 9/11 as, yes, 7/11.
Police and our firemen down in 7/11, down at the World Trade Center, right after it came down.
Actually, you know what? He actually didn't screw up. He was talking about a 7-Eleven that's right around the corner from the World Trade Center.
That's right.
They all went there. That's where they bought their drinks. They bought big gulps because they needed water, so they bought them in big gulp. You know that's what he's going to say.
I was going to
explain it away because he doesn't apologize for f***ing anything.
I was standing in the rubble of the Slurpee machine in 7-Eleven when those buildings came down on 9/11. Oh, God. All right. Yeah, 7-Eleven. We all remember 7-Eleven, don't we? More importantly, Ted Cruz vowed, and this is maybe the best news of the week, Ted Cruz vowed that he won't ban dildos if elected president. So that's
great news. God.
See, now, as soon as we step back from the Democratic race and take a look at the Republicans, everything's great again. If the combination of presidential politics and sex is bound to get attention, Mother Jones published a gem last week noting that Ted Cruz, during his tenure as Texas's Solicitor General, helped defend a law criminalizing the sale of adult sex devices. We have to, of course, these guys need to make a difference. As David Korn's article documented, Cruz, before he was elected to the Senate, co-authored a legal brief in 2007 urging the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to uphold, quote, a Texas law outlawing the sale and promotion of supposedly obscene devices. The brief compared the use of sex toys to hiring a willing prostitute or engaging in consensual bigamy, and it equated advertising these products with the commercial promotion of prostitution. The legal filing also declared there's no substantive due process right to stimulate one's genitals for non-medical purposes unrelated to procreation or outside of an interpersonal relationship. BuzzFeed reported that the senator was asked about the article during a radio interview last week. I'm sure this was great. Cruz asked by WABC radio host Curtis Sliwa if he would.
Oh, good.
Yeah. You know what? Here's a fun fact. Curtis Sliwa, the only radio show host who I've turned down an appearance with. I got contacted, I don't know, it was a year, a year and a half ago or whatever it was. And they wanted me to be on that show. No effing way. I've gone on Republican shows. I've gone on Geraldo Rivera's show. I used to go on the John Phillips show in L.A. all the time. All conservative shows. Curtis Leeway, no, not going to subject myself to that. But Curtis Leeway asked Ted Cruz if he would ban the sale of sexual toys, dildos, or anything that sexually stimulates you. And answered he would not. Look, of course not. It's a ridiculous question, and of course not, Cruz told Sliwa on Friday. What people do in their own private time with themselves is their own business, and it's none of the government's business. Yeah, of course. Which,
well, I have a great MSNBC story about Curtis Sliwa.
Oh yeah, let's hear it. Curtis Sliwa. Isn't he what he's the his backstory? What he's the
Guardian Angel.
Guardian Angel, yes, of course.
Yeah, which is it's great to have him around at the same time you've got Trump.
Yeah, right.
We're discussing it's like the '80s all over. All you need to do now is raise the body of Morton Downey Jr.
I was just gonna say Trump needs to pick Morton Downey Jr. as his running mate.
Right, the body of Morton, the dead, desiccated corpse of Morton Downey Jr.
You pablum puking liberal. Yeah.
There was a time like. I want to say about a year, like close to a year after 9/11, uh-huh. where, you know, the war was proceeding as it was proceeding. 9/11 wasn't a story, it wasn't like a, you know, a really like day of story anymore. And MSNBC totally lost its way.
Yeah.
I don't know if people can remember that.
But, oh, I do.
I mean, there was this whole period where they just didn't know what they wanted to be. And so they hired like Jerry Nachman, who was this acerbic, heavy guy who worked behind the scenes for a long time, and he had a show on where he talked like this, and you know, and they just hired a bunch of right wing, that's not fair, not too many, but Sliwa was on. They gave Sliwa, I don't think they gave him a show, but they allowed him to come in as a contributor.
Isn't that when Alan Keyes also got a show?
Alan Keyes got a show.
Alan Keyes is making sense.
Because they were trying to be Fox News.
Right.
And they were trying to jump on the, hey, look how patriotic we are bandwagon. And that was something that Phil Donahue was actually correct about when he said that, you know, his speaking out against the war is what got him canned.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because it was that, and also, I mean, there were internal politics at play there. But either way, so Curtis Sliwa has gets to be a contributor, and they sent him to the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on July 4th of 2002.
Oh, Jesus.
Sliwa is like, it was when, what the hell's his name? The competitive eater, the Asian guy.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. The hot dog eating guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He cleaned up. He just cleaned up. He was just scarfing him down, and he won. And as he gets closer and closer
Kobayashi,
to winning,
Kobayashi,
thank you. As he gets closer and closer to winning, the rhetoric from Curtis Sliwa begins amping up. Like, he starts yelling. He's like, not since Tojo descended on Pearl Harbor have we seen a Japanese person come over here and do this on American soil. I mean, just the most horrific was coming out of this guy's mouth.
Oh my God.
And I the look on my face, I'm standing in the middle of the newsroom with like my jaw hanging open. And I actually had to go to our executive producer. I'm like, is somebody going to stop him? Is somebody going to stop him from saying this horrifically racist, offensive crap that he's saying on our air right now?
Oh my God.
And I don't think they ever actually apologized for him. I think they just sort of let it go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they probably cut away to, you know, prison rape documentaries.
Yeah, exactly.
But, Ted Cruz saying that what you do in the privacy of your own home with yourself is your business and the government has no place interfering with it. Bull fucking shit. That, I mean, of course, I agree with that, but it's not what Ted Cruz really believes. Because it's not, I mean, certainly he's not going to turn a blind eye when it comes to either smoking marijuana in the privacy of your own house, or engaging in a same-sex marriage in the privacy of your own house, or actually having an abortion, going to an abortion clinic and doing, you know, having something done to your body that's a personal and private decision.
Right.
None of that. He doesn't care.
No.
But dildos, well, fine. I'm not going to. I'm not going to cross that bridge.
Because everything is about making sure that the government is the arm of God.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And when it comes to that, the Republican Party is absolutely not the party of small government. That's what a myth that is.
No, the Republican Party exists so that the Ten Commandments can be enforced through the government, through legislation.
Right. But I mean, at least we can rest assured knowing that in all of this Republican mayhem and with goddamn presidential election, at least they won't be coming for our dildos. So that's a positive change of events.
First they came for the dildos.
Yeah, first they came for the dildos. And then the fleshlights.
And then they came for my right hand. And there was no one left to protest.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a break. Come back with more show right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month. Or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
7-11.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Oh my God, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSuska.com Amazon link. Go shopping now, but don't type in Amazon.com into your web browser. Go to, do people still call it a web browser? I don't know if I just dated myself by saying that. Go to BobSuska.com.
Go to the World Wide Web.
That's right. Go to the World Wide Web. Surf on the information superhighway. And go to BobSuska.com. Click the Amazon link. It's big, big capital letter link right below the logo at BobSuska.com. And we get a small commission from everything you buy at Amazon. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, moving along here. Your dildos are safe. I guess, you know what? Before we move along with other political things, let's do this real quick. They're not letters. It's comments on iTunes. iTunes comments. Not letters at all. It's just that we're saying they're letters because that's what we always say. I thought this was funny. We get comments all the time. Customer reviews, they call them, on iTunes.
I'd like to think we have clients. we're high-priced call girls.
That's right. We just refer to all our listeners as tricks.
Right. We're giving you the girlfriend experience.
I thought this comment was really funny. This is a review of the show, and it's quick and it's easy to understand, and I disagree with it and I think it's ridiculous. But the subject line is, they call themselves progressive, but...
Oh, I like that one already.
...
I see what he's doing there. I know where this is going.
And then in the body, it says... ... are against the democratization of media and sometimes lament the media's loss of gatekeepers. So I'm going to combine these two things into one sentence. They call themselves progressive, but are against the democratization of media and sometimes lament the media's loss of gatekeepers.
You know why? Because idiots like you get to leave that fucking comment, you c***.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't give a shit what you think.
Basically, this show is about two former high school cool kids whose morning zoo radio show got shut down and started this podcast. So there it is.
Did we ever do morning zoo? I didn't.
I don't know. Do we ever sound like a morning zoo? I don't know. Do we?
There you go.
No, it's not. It's not a morning zoo at all. We don't have wacky sound effects or anything like that.
This is true.
We don't
do have sound effects.
We don't have morning zoo sound effects. We don't. Nope. We don't have fart noises either. No, none of that. Oh, man. No, see, no.
Were you
look,
a cool kid in high school?
I was not. I was kind of not.
You were like a high school Republican. That makes you the uncoolest on earth.
Yeah, I was like a combination of a heavy metal guy and a Republican.
Wow, dude. Did you read Ayn Rand?
Well, basically, here's my high school evolution. I started out, this is a Breakfast Club analogy. I started out as Brian and ended up as Bender. And so ninth grade, I was Brian. By 12th grade, totally Bender. Except the criminal part. I wasn't really a criminal, but, you know.
I was depending on my mood, I was a combination of, and you can tell by the way that I've thought about this.
Yeah.
I was a combination of Pacey Witter from Dawson's Creek or Donnie Darko, depending on how the depression was going.
Well, let's be perfectly clear about something with regard to this comment on iTunes. We're not against the democratization of media. Indeed, the reason we're doing this show, the reason why Chez and I exist online is because of the democratization of media.
Absolutely.
The fact of the matter is that sometimes on some issues, we wish that there was some neutral arbiter of the truth.
Yeah.
And if that kind of leads us to somewhat tongue-in-cheek, say, bring back the gatekeepers, that's what we sometimes say. But it's not like we're wishing to be fired. We're not wishing for like something like this, what we're doing now on this show, to go back to being controlled by Clear Channel Media and Viacom. We don't want that, of course. We certainly don't want the Daily Banter to go out of business or Salon.com to go out of business.
Who's your friend, as you refer to him, your conservative friend on Twitter?
Tom Nichols from the Naval War College.
I believe Tom Nichols, the one who wrote a really, really good piece. It might have been in the Federalist, which I'm not advocating reading the Federalist too often, but it might have been in that. It was like something about like the death of expertise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I want to say
really good.
Yeah, I want to say he wrote a book about it. He ended up expanding it into a book.
Yeah.
And I think
it was in the Federalist. I could totally be wrong, but yeah. But either way, he made a great little case where he said that the problem with, and I've heard the same thing from people who are professional critics, like you know for newspapers and that kind of thing, and how online criticism has sort of diminished their value as well.
Yeah,
and yeah, but I like it because Nichols' whole point was like, it doesn't matter that he's an expert in something, that he's really worked hard to sort of hone his knowledge over the years.
Yeah.
Because now any idiot can have an opinion and can put it out there. And it's very hard to tell the opinions of people who are genuinely knowledgeable from the people who are just talking out of their ass, quite frankly, like me.
Yeah, and let's be perfectly clear, and this is especially directed at future iTunes commenters on our show page.
We love you, but
we're not praising Tom Nichols because he's a conservative. We're praising Tom Nichols because he wrote a book that is not an ideological book. It's a book about I'm just looking at it here on Amazon.com. Found through the Amazon link at BobSeska.com. He's got a book coming out called The Death of Expertise, The Campaign Against Established Knowledge and Why It Matters. And from what I understand from him, it's not an ideological book. It's a book entirely about how now expertise has become democratized too. And everyone believes that they are an expert in whatever field they're tweeting about. When in fact, and at the same time, shunning those who are actual experts.
Yeah, and that's the other side of it. The flip side of it is that there is sort of an active intellectual violence against people who genuinely know what they're talking about.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. And that's what this is a book that I'm absolutely going to read. I will make the time to read it, because
even if I don't agree with Nichols' politics, I mean, that was a great article.
Yeah.
And I agreed with it 100%.
Exactly. So I thought I'd bring up that iTunes comment because it struck me as funny. It's as someone who maybe listened to the show once and is maybe taking things way too seriously. Overanalyzing every goddamn last thing.
And you know, the other thing that's really funny, and I've said this so many times, go back through the history books, go back through my archive, find a place where I called myself liberal.
Yeah, right. Well,
I'm an independent. I'm a registered independent.
That's right. And you're also being disenfranchised in New York.
I know.
You know
oh, my God. Because I wasn't smart enough to, you know what, change my fucking party affiliation if I wanted to vote for Bernie as a Democrat. Because Bernie's running as a Democrat.
Right. So, okay. We've got a couple things we still need to do before we wrap up the show. There's two stories that I want to get to. First is the annual story that happens around tax day every single time. Around Christmas time from Fox News Channel, we get the war on Christmas. Around this time of year, we get the war on the makers. Or we get the war on... I don't know what it is. Or they declare war on the takers on Fox News Channel. I guess that's the more appropriate way to put it.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're talking about how there's now, statistically, this year, 45% of Americans allegedly don't pay any taxes at all. No taxes. They don't have to pay any taxes, which is complete Of course, people have to pay taxes. Even the people who don't pay any federal income tax are always paying taxes. We're going to talk about that after one last break. Back with more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
And our firemen down in 7-Eleven, down in the World Trade Center, right after it came down.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to our Thursday show. We're commemorating 7-Eleven today. Never forget.
All right.
So, of course, Fox News Channel, you know, stashed all their gray matter in the brain room and took to the airwaves and talked about how the takers, the 45%, aren't paying any federal income taxes. Ever. And it was, of course, the usual suspects on Fox News Channels. The five. You know, God damn it. You talk about, this is the crap they do every year, and every year, because of it, we have to swat it down. So it's like, you know what I was able to do today? Because I wrote about it for the Daily Banter today. I just went back to my article last year and pulled some stuff from my, some research from my article last year. And
that's funny, because I just reran the Texas secession piece from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I just basically recycled it. I said, you know what? Guess what? It's a day ending in Y. Texas is talking about seceding again. Here you go. Suck on this.
And of course, I've written this... this tax thing about the five every year since 2012, because 2012 was the famous year in which it first got started. That was what prompted Mitt Romney to talk about the 47% in that clandestinely acquired video. Right. He was talking about how the 40%, he's not going to get the votes of the 47% because they just want handouts and he's not going to give them handouts. So, of course, they did it again. Eric Bolling and walking, talking Barbie Dana Perino both talked about how 47% of Americans aren't paying taxes. Eric Bolling said, that means 55%, almost half the people, are paying for the whole pie. So no one f***ing told me there was going to be pie. I never get any pie on tax day. So $4 trillion are spent every year. We borrow some of it, Eric Bolling said, but the vast majority of the wealthy are paying for it. So those numbers, I don't know if you have other charts in here, but the breakdown is the top 20%. The top 1 in 5 Americans are paying for 70% of all outlays in America. That is insane. Right now, you pay federal income tax. You pay either state income tax or property tax at the state level. You pay property taxes. You pay sales taxes. You pay death tax. They tax you literally from birth to death. No, they don't. They don't tax you. What the F is that? They tax you literally from birth to death? But so we're taxing fetuses now. We're taxing newborn babies. No, no, no. Meanwhile, if you are on the take, on the other side, Bolling went on, the you're on with the 45%. You're likely getting unemployment insurance. You're likely getting free health care. You're probably getting food stamps. You are probably getting a phone, getting the internet. You're getting help with your heating, electric bills, and whatnot. So we are very close to the tipping point where when that goes to 51%, the people aren't paying anything. I don't know what that even means. You will never change the system. So Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton is talking about shifting. How much can you shift when the top 20% are paying for 70%? I can't imagine you shift any further. So that is Eric Bolling's latest speech on, I guess, why Americans should be paying higher taxes.
He's such a boob.
I mean, that's what's insane about it. He is a boob, and I'll tell you why. I thought Republicans hated taxes. I mean, isn't Ted Cruz getting on the stump every goddamn day saying, I will abolish the IRS. Yeah. They want to abolish the IRS. Fox, that's how much they hate taxes.
Fox News, though, is the network of, you know, aristocratic self-pity.
Right.
Well, woe is us. Woe is me, Eric Bolling, who makes a fortune to sit on this stupid fucking show and yell at people for an hour.
Well, the hilarious thing is that people who are wealthy, like Eric Bolling, have all kinds of tax breaks at their disposal, all kinds of ways to shelter themselves from taxes, and they end up with effective tax rates that are lower than a lot of working people. So they actually end up paying less of a percentage of their income in taxes than do people who make hundreds of thousands of dollars less than they do. I mean, that's the reality. But what I can't get beyond here is they're making an argument here to tax half of Americans at a higher rate than they're already paying. That's what this is about. This is, if you're part of that 45%, you're not paying enough in taxes. You need to start paying your fair share. So the subtext is, we should raise your taxes. I mean, this is just absolutely insane. I'm even amazed that they can get away with it among Republicans. I mean, at some point, Republicans have to go, what the hell are you talking about? Don't talk about raising taxes. We don't want to raise taxes, idiots. I mean, this is something that if I was a Republican, I would be criticizing Eric Bolling for saying this. It's just dumb. Meanwhile, the 45%, what they're trying to make their listeners and their viewers, their brainwashed cult-like viewers believe is that the 45% is made up of welfare queens. Right. That's the subtext. That's what they're implying. And they believe it because they're all part of this big cult. They've all been brainwashed into the cult of Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch. Right. And so they're all buying it. And all the people, this is like red meat for the Fox News people to scream and wag their fists at the brown people. But the fact of the matter is that the 45%, and again, we do this every year. I might as well just go to our show from April 19th, 2015 and replay that segment, because I'm going to say the exact same thing, which is the 45% are old people, disabled people, including veterans, and working families with children. Oh, and also students. Those are the people. So what is Eric Bolling and Fox News Channel saying? They're saying, let's raise taxes on old people. Who watches Fox News Channel? Old people.
Hey, so there's one of those morning zoo noises.
I know, one of the morning zoo noises. There's just lots of them here. Essentially, what Fox News Channel is doing here is they're criticizing their own audience. I mean, the Fox News Channel audience is, as I said, old people. Who are the 45%? Well, mostly retired old people. And the fact of the matter is that 45%, they're still paying taxes. Yeah. I mean, some of the lower income people, they may not be paying any in federal income taxes, but they're certainly paying FICA taxes. They're certainly paying payroll taxes. They're certainly paying state and local taxes. They're paying sales taxes. They're paying tolls. You know, they go on the Jersey Turnpike. They're going to pay tolls. So they are paying tax. They are paying into the system. It's not like everyone's being lifted up by the almighty Eric Bolling and Greg Gutfeld and Dana Perino. Thanks, guys. Thanks for supporting the rest of us. Well, F you. No, they're still paying taxes. So that makes absolutely no sense. No sense whatsoever. All right. So that's that. I mean, again, this is the same crap every year. Oh, yeah. By the way, Obama phones.
I did notice that. The phones.
Yeah, the phones. I totally forgot to mention this in the context of this rant. They want... Basically, it's bad that these takers have phones and internet and help with their electric heating bills. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Again, senior citizens most often are the ones who end up getting frozen to death in the middle of winter because they can't afford home heating.
Yeah.
They're also part of the 45%. They're also...
That's how I'm going to die.
But just freezing to death.
I just figured it out. That's exactly how I'm going to go.
Right.
If I don't die young, which I should have gone years ago, that's how I'm going to die. I'm going to like freeze to death in the winter. I'm going to be one of those statistics or like, you know, burn up in the summer.
Right, right. So, yeah.
Six people died in the blizzard, including this old guy. He lived alone with two cats.
Right. Ches Pazienza sitting there
in the one final indignity, they'll massacre my name. Ches Pazina.
Ches Pazina. That's right. Shay. They'll just refer to you as Shay Pazina.
They will absolutely f my last name. My name entirely. No, you know what? And the sad part about it is they'll have to go by my full first name. So it'll be like Caesar Pazina.
who co-hosted a podcast with Robert Zizman. Yeah. So, and they did a show. It was called The Bob and Ches Show. It was hosted by Caesar Pazina and Bob Zizman.
That's us.
Yeah. And it was semi-popular. Not nearly as popular as the famous Young Turks.
Where's the plane?
I just had to work that in there. So
I'm still getting tweets from that. I'm still getting people retweeting Anna Kasparian a week later.
God damn it. All right. So that's that. Just one last note before we wrap up the show here. I don't know if you know this, but, you know, we've talked about Philip Bump's reporting on the Democratic campaign. Mm-hmm. Evidently, according to Mediaite, he's been doxxed by Bernie supporters.
How lovely.
Yeah. They published his address online. Yeah.
And see, this is what I'm talking about. Superdelegate hit lists, throwing dollar bills.
Yeah.
This kind of stupidity.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though, and I don't want to get too deep into the conspiratorial rabbit hole here, but I also saw a story today on MSNBC about how Karl Rove and Crossroads GPS are still infiltrating groups of Bernie Sanders supporters.
That's not a surprise at all, not even a little bit.
Yeah, and then helping the Bernie Sanders campaign. So, again, I think we really need to keep in mind that factor when we're criticizing Bernie Sanders supporters, because it might not even be Bernie Sanders support. I mean, like legitimate Bernie Sanders supporters.
I've seen some of the behavior is so wonderfully typical of the left, of the far left.
Well, I mean, I think if they're going to do it, they're going to wear the disguise well.
Could be.
I mean, I think they're going to really dig down deep into their dark passenger and bring out their inner Democrat and play the role. I don't know. When I hear about people being doxxed, like Washington Post reporters, I smell it like a fart in a car. It smells foul to me. It just seems like, would they really do it? And I shouldn't be surprised by anything at this point.
Dude, no, come on. Don't, honestly, look, I get it. You're absolutely correct. That it could very well be rat fucking on behalf of the Karl Rove camp.
Yeah.
Which is, again, not a surprise.
Yeah.
But the Occam's razor. You know what?
That's
true.
I mean,
look at the kind of behavior that we have seen from these people over the past several months. Think of the kind of insanity that's been sort of fomenting
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. Believe me. See also first where segment of this show. I mean, I'm
the whole Patton Oswalt, the magnanimous, the really beautiful magnanimity of Patton Oswalt saying, you know what, both candidates are terrific. We'd be lucky to have either of them. That's not the way a lot of Bernie Sanders people feel about Clinton. I mean, Jesus Christ. I know because I've written enough stories about this race, and it's just every single time you're flooded with like Shillery and criminal, and she's a war criminal, and she's a murderer. She should get. It's like, dude, shut up.
Well, I'm so effing sick of the whole goddamn thing.
June 7th
cannot roll around fast enough.
I agree.
I'm not one to like try to speed along the advancement of time, especially as I get older. But for God's sake. Just the next, please, like the next month and a half or whatever it is until June 7th. Please, fast. Let's race right through it. Well, enjoy the coverage of the New York primary tonight. By the time most of you hear this show, it'll be over, so you'll already know the results. I mean, we barely even talked about it just for that reason. So, but, you know, who knows what'll happen. We got the post-mortem show coming up next, though. Patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Please, goddammit, support the show. Click the Patreon link at the top of BobSeska.com and support us, and you get lots of free cool stuff like additional shows all week long. See you over there. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.